if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clover Crest Media Group and Rocky Hill Accountants. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good. Pride, I think you was muted, but you know, I know you're chilling. Yeah, so I know that's what you were going with. Nonetheless, guys, it's Wednesday. I'm very excited. It's the middle of the week. We got a lot of awesome playoff basketball, and that's exactly where I want to start, guys. Yesterday, the Phoenix Suns got as hot as the Sun themselves. You know, they came off in a Game 2 performance to beat the Clippers in a 104-103 contest, which really, you know, came down literally to the last second. Anybody that watched the game yesterday, you're seeing it on the screen if you're watching our show currently. DeAndre Ayton with the alley-oop from Jay Crowder, that basically looked like he was going to just shoot it in, Pride. It looked like if he did an alley-oop it in, it looked like it was just going to fall in, and there was a whole thing like, is it a rule, whatever. But, you know, it's nice to see the Phoenix Suns once again, you know, being in a championship contending team. I feel like ever since Charles Barkley left, you know, they haven't really been there. I mean, they had the good years with Steve Nash and Stoudemire, so they weren't scrubs this whole period of time, but nobody was looking at them like championship caliber team, Pride. But nonetheless, do you think that's changed in Phoenix? Are they a contending team for future years?
Depends if they keep Chris Paul. Because honestly, they're almost virtually the same team. Most of the core pieces are still there. Only difference is they added Chris Paul. Now, if they keep Chris Paul and his leadership can continue to elevate this team, sure, I just want to say one thing. Paul George sold. He sold that game. My guy couldn't buy a three-point shot and for some reason had the nerve to say, you know what, let me break these two free throws. When you want to put yourself in a category and with the likes of the Kevin Durant's of the world, with I'll even put a Kawhi Leonard, with the LeBron James of the world, right? Imagine if one of those dudes – look, if LeBron misses one free throw, the world ends. Paul George missed two free throws.
In the clutch.
Two back. Yeah, 8.2 seconds left, you missed two free throws. And everyone's like, oh, he played great. Dude went 1 for 8 from three. I don't care what no one's. If you're going to give him like a pass, no, I'm not giving him a pass. Because that moment was when, and the sad part about it, this was the game the Clippers could have won. Because Devin Booker did not have a good game. Like, I love me some Devin Booker. No disrespect to him whatsoever. But when you have him come and shooting 5 for 16, that is when you should be capitalizing. That's when you should be taking.
And he got hurt.
He got hurt and came back. By the way, kudos to him because his nose looked massive. When I saw him at the end, yo, his nose looked ginormous, and he came back. It almost reminded me of Steve Nash when his nose was all wonky and whatnot. But in terms of can these guys be legit contenders in the future? Honestly, I think they can be. You know, I mean, obviously, keeping Chris Paul, I would say keep Chris Paul for one more year. If you keep Chris Paul for one more year and have everybody continue that mentality, that way when he leaves, the next guy up, which will be Devin Booker, he can then continue to carry that into the future. Because obviously Devin Booker is still going to be the guy. No matter who you bring on that team, he's definitely going to be that guy that's going to have to lead you to the promised land. So do I think they can? Yes. But at the same time, it's like I'm not going to say it's definitive because, again, the main thing they were missing was that crucial guy, that crucial leadership. That's kind of what they were missing for a while. And now that they got that with CP3, as long as CP3 can now invoke enough of that, so when, let's say, he departs this offseason, if Devin Booker can take over that mantle, he can grab that torch and run with it. And if he can have that same effect, then I think definitely this team can. But even if not, this is definitely still going to be a legitimate team. At worst, they're going to be a 7 seed at worst. I'm talking about if they have like a total meltdown type of thing, they'll be a 7 seed at worst. This team is very talented. They you know, again, DeAndre Ayton, I saw a thing. He's the first guy, and if I'm not mistaken, in postseason history to shoot 70% or more in any 12-game stretch of postseason play, which is like which kind of tells me not only is he taking good shots, but he's taking shots he's comfortable with. He's not being extra. He's not like, I'm a guy who I work with my back to the hoop. You're not going to catch me at the three-point line. And I like that about him. He kind of knows himself. He stays within himself. Obviously, he'll probably try to, you know, work on his craft and get better. But I definitely like him. This team, like I said, regardless if Chris Paul stays or leaves, this team is definitely trending upwards. And they're going in the right direction as long as they continue to make the right moves and continue to do the right things. As long as the offense does not mess this up, the future is bright for these guys. And like, if they end up just making the finals, it doesn't even matter if they even get swept. Just making the finals will give this team so much momentum for next year. So honestly, the future is bright for these guys.
No, yeah, you're 100% right, Pride, and I'm going to second you on that because I'm going to say yes, JJ. As of right now, the Phoenix Suns are a title-contending team. They're out of the two teams remaining in the Western Conference. They're, you know, between them and the Clippers, they're the more complete team. Obviously, they're missing Chris Paul, but that's because of COVID-related reasons, and he'll be back most likely no later than Game 4. You have that leadership that was kind of missing on the court. You kind of saw that a little bit in towards the end of the game, and a little bit in the end of the third quarter, you saw a lot of sloppy play from the Phoenix Suns. But it was because, you know, they were missing the head of the snake, the guy that makes everything smooth, and Chris Paul. And he's coming back, guys, and he's coming back to a 2-0 lead. They were able to, even though it was a slim lead, even though it was a 1-point lead, the Phoenix Suns, they showed that they're still here. You know, Booker, I think we all agree, Booker has arrived. And not only that, but Andre Ayton is definitely playing like a number one overall pick. Remember, guys, he was picked over Luka and Trae Young, and a lot of his play was swept under the rug because ever since he was drafted until now, the Phoenix Suns were a bad team. So you didn't see the type of player that he is now. And what we've seen in these playoffs is the progression in DeAndre Ayton's game. We've seen that, you said, Pride, that he doesn't mess around in things that he's not comfortable with yet. He knows where his bread and butter is, and he's taking advantage of it. Because I'm sorry, Zubac is not, it can't hold Ayton. Nope. Zubac can't hold Ayton. DeMarcus Cousins, he can't hold Ayton right now. Ayton is Ayton because he's literally right now the best big man on the floor. And what Chris Paul has shown, guys, is that, to your point a little bit and to piggyback on it, that this team is the same, but Chris Paul is showing that with the right piece, this same exact team can be taken to new heights. So obviously, this has opened the door and put Phoenix on the map. But maybe when Chris Paul does depart, which I think the coach has already kind of talked about giving Chris Paul a contract extension because he wants to bring him back. So regardless to that, even if they don't, I think Chris Paul has shown the NBA that guys can come to Phoenix and win with this team. So I'm pretty sure Phoenix right now, with Devin Booker showing us that he's a superstar in the league, DeAndre Ayton showing that he's a prominent big man, that with the type of progression that he's shown, within the next 2 to 3 years, we're talking about DeAndre Ayton possibly being one of the best big men in the league, you know, rivaling the Jokers and the Embiids, you feel me? So he has that type of progression, and the type of coach that Phoenix has, he's the type to galvanize the troops and bring out the best in players. Devin Booker, CP3, but another guy that gets swept out of under the rug with Phoenix is a guy like Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges, mm-hmm. I think if you have the name Bridges in the NBA, you could ball. Because the kid Bridges in New Orleans, he could ball too. And Mikal Bridges is showing you that he has some game to it. Cameron Payne, he spent a few years in the league already. He was at OKC. I remember when he was spending those years at OKC, a lot of players thought that he was going to be bum in the NBA. And he's showing that with the right coaching, with leadership like Chris Paul, dude, Chris Paul has worked wonders for this team. And I believe that they will keep him. They keep Chris Paul, bring back the troop next year, because regardless to what you see from Phoenix, this is a successful year for them. Regardless to what they do, let's just say they do collapse to the Clippers, this is still a successful season for them because they were at the bottom of the bottom last year. And now they're literally one of the last four standing. So Phoenix has proven enough right now that they're a title contender now and definitely for years to come.
Yeah, Sander. And just to correct you, I think the guy you were talking about was Miles Bridges from Charlotte.
Miles Bridges,
from New Orleans. Yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah, so something with the Bridges. Or if you just got a Vich in your last name, you're Bogdanovich or Marjanovic. Sure. Like, you is a baller now in 2021 if you just got one of those last names. But listen, I'm not trying to get too caught up in the moment, because I do see Phoenix right now, and I think they're a good team. I think that they're built solidly well. But I got to think about, what is the field going to look like next year when the guys are coming back healthy, and what's the rest of the West going to look like? Because I do think that one thing that Phoenix deserves credit for is for making the right choices in the draft. You get Booker, you get Ayton, you get Bridges. Those are already good foundation pieces, and you showed that you could go out there and make trades, like, to get a Chris Paul. So obviously the upstairs department is doing really well, and the guys on the court, which will be the downstairs, they're holding their end and proving the guys upstairs right that, hey, everything is working well, and I think Phoenix right now looks good. I'm not sure if they're going to be a contender or not moving forward, because, like I said, I still think the field is too strong. I'm still got to wait to see what the Lakers are going to do. Now we got to wait. Are the Clippers going to come back better or not? Is Luka going to get another piece? Is the Trail Blazers and Dame Lillard, are they going to figure it out? But I would say this, though. I think that a lot of my opinion would change depending on what they do with this series and if they get to the finals and how they win the finals. Now, if they go out and they sweep the Clippers, then the whole West has to be on notice, because the West is going to look like, you know, they ain't have Kawhi. They're limping a little bit. Phoenix is just getting hot at the right time, and that will surface. But if you go out there and just clean sweeping, and then it looks like they're just a better team in four games, then everybody's going to be like, all right, Phoenix went undefeated in the bubble last year, and they didn't make it, and now they come and made the finals. Maybe Phoenix is a little legit. And if they were to go out in the finals, and let's say they beat Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee – Atlanta – in six. Let's say they beat Atlanta, and let's say in six games themselves, and they win the NBA Finals. You know what I mean? Like, and then their championships, then you obviously got to put them on the radar. But I really do think right now Pride is all going to come down to how Phoenix performs and how definitive in their victories they look, to see how much on notice the rest of the Western Conference should consider them.
I do get your point, but you also have to, like, the whole thing about contenders – there's usually like three or four contenders for each conference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So that's why, like, if you think about it, like, I everyone's mean, like.
Right. Let's be honest. Four in the conference, they might be just six in general in the league. Like, they might be just six serious
contenders.
Not
in the Western, though. We're talking about the West, not the East. The East is top heavy. There was only three teams that was going to make it, and that's it. There's only one or three teams. The West is different. The West ain't as top heavy. You see what I'm saying? Like, I get it. Golden State is going to come back. I understand that. But again, Klay had two injuries back to back. That's going to take a lot out of him, especially considering he relies a lot on his athleticism, because he's like to be the 3-and-D guy. Yeah. Like, when they play the Nets, he's the one guarding Kevin Durant, or he's going to be guarding James Harden. If they play the Celtics, he's going to be guarding Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. If they play the Mavericks, he's going to be guarding Luka. Like, it's going to take a lot out of him. You know what I mean? And on top of that, Steph Curry ain't getting any healthier. So I think, I think they're the Warriors are kind of done. Now, will they make the playoffs and make some noise? Sure. But in terms of being contenders, I just don't know, because
you would pick Phoenix.
I would only because, like, your two vocal pieces at this point in time are like they're beginning to look injury prone. They're beginning to look like that. Well, Steph always has been kind of look like that, but Klay is kind of entering that conversation because it's too.
He's had a rough 2 years.
Yeah, and it's two serious ones. It's not like he just broke a thumb. Like, it was the Achilles and then it was the ACL. So it's like two of those back to back. I don't know how he's gonna come back. The Lakers, as much as I love LeBron, and I love LeBron, you feel me? But with Alex Caruso getting arrested, the Lakers' chances are going
nowhere, you feel me? He got arrested.
Alex Caruso, they're going nowhere, you feel me? But I guess. But with the Lakers, LeBron is getting a little older. And can you really depend on Anthony Davis? Because now he's also looking a little injury prone. So now that's another question mark there. You see what I'm saying? So it's like the teams that should be up. And again, the Clippers, they've been ever since Paul George and Kawhi got there. They've been calling themselves contenders, and they have yet to let us down. They have yet to let us down, because everyone in the Amman's bent against them, and they have yet to let us down. It looks like this year they're gonna make the people like JJ happy. They're gonna make them happy.
They're peaking right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they already peaked. That's just me. I feel like the first year was it for them. Like, if they couldn't do that for the first year, I don't know.
I mean, I'm saying they're peaking, Pride, because this is the Clippers' first ever Western Conference Finals. So they're clearly peaking right now.
I mean, I get your point. Yeah, you can say that they're peaking. I get that, you know. But it's just like this team is like, I don't know. From top to bottom, I like them, except for Cameron Payne. I don't like him. He's a rat. He looks like a rat. He's stupid. I don't
like him. Like a naked mole rat.
I don't like him at all. Like I've never seen a kid make one shot and then all of a sudden act like he's lit and then not touch the ball for like 15 minutes and then still talk. Like, we thought Patrick Beverley was bad. This kid is worse. This kid is a younger Pat Bev, where like there'll be plays where he's on the ball and he's still talking. And it's like, bro, you're literally on the bench. You played 5 minutes and you're already icing your knees. Why are you talking? You should not be chatting. But other than him, top to bottom, this team's solid. I like this team, and I like this team. I'll take this team. I like this team chances with every team in the West. I really do.
And not for nothing, Sandra, and I'll pass it on to you with this. You know, Monty Williams has done a great job with this team. I'm sure like Chris Paul has a lot of influence when it comes to what happens on the floor, but it looks like he's really embraced whatever Monty Willis has done for him and just spreads that message beautiful about the rest of the team, Sander.
100%. If you look at what they do as soon as the game is over, the first thing that Booker and Ayton do is grab, because who's on the other line on FaceTime? Chris Paul congratulating them. This dude is more than just in on the court, guys. Chris Paul there's a reason why he represents the players in when it comes to like bargaining agreements and all that. The players union. There's a reason why, because he has that type of effect, that type of leadership. And Chris Paul's don't grow on trees, guys. Like, this type of leadership, this type of skill, there's a reason why without a ring, he's still considered a top five. No, you can't put him really under a top five in point guards of all time. So if he gets a ring, this just solidifies all the greatness that he's always owned. It's like the cherry on top. And, you know, I was rooting for Brooklyn, but, you know, Phoenix is definitely taking the cake right now for me. I think Phoenix has a great chance to win a championship. Pride said it. When you look at Phoenix and you stack them up against 1 through 8, whatever the 8 best are in the West, Phoenix stacks up well against every single one of those teams. And when you say that, Jay, that makes them a title contender from here on out to years to come. They're that scary because the West is that good. So you definitely have to put them as a title contender from like right now.
Cool. I mean, like I said, I'll wait to see what the field looks like going into the new season. But at the moment, Phoenix is pushing all the right buttons. They're in the Western Conference Finals. And I'm excited to see what they're going to do in L.A. versus the Clippers for Game 3. So I know we'll definitely all be watching that game for sure. But I do want to transition to the MLB because things got spicy last night with that boy Mad Max. And he showed yesterday on the mound why they call him Mad Max. I believe, not sure which inning it was, but he did get checked for foreign substances, as they naturally will be doing moving forward in the MLB due to the new rules trying to crack down on foreign substances. And anybody that's watching, you see him, he's just reacting. He's so sick of it. It's the second or third time he got checked. He just got checked in between at-bats. And Matt Max right there, probably you see it, he's just showing why the nickname fits the man. But nonetheless, here we are again. Team Mad Max or Team MLB?
First and foremost, Joe Girardi's a joke. The MLB, because he's 100% a joke. He actually tried to fight Max Scherzer right before he got ejected. Mad Max would have exposed the dog water out of that old.
Yes, he would have.
You know, I thought it was a coach.
I just want to hear anything.
No, it was Girardi.
Garbage, dog water. Get him out of here. I hope the next time he screams, he pops a blood vessel. Don't like him. Like, look at that. I mean, look, like, he's like, oh, come on, let's go. And look, this is what Max Scherzer does. For those who can't see, he goes to the top of the dugout, shows his gloves and his hat, and says, I got nothing. What a goat. That is my goat. That is my second goat. Right under Jacob DeGrom, that is my second goat. Just because he had my man had the cojones to be like, hey, yo, lick me. Like, my dude's brave. I just want to say one thing. I do like the fact that my goat, Jacob DeGrom, when they checked him, he was like, okay, go here, check me. I don't care. And he was chilling. Shohei Ohtani laughed while they're checking him. Do you know how godly you have to be to get checked, laugh, and then when you come back on the mound to strike the guy out and still be laughing? Jesus Christ. Yo, Shohei Ohtani is a goat in making, I'm telling you. But whose side am I on? I'm kind of in the middle because I like what the MLB is doing. They're cracking hard on it. I get it. But they're going about it the wrong way. Instead of checking the guy on the mound, right, why not just wait till he goes to the dugout and just check him in the dugout every inning? That way you're not stopping the game. The guy's still getting checked. And guess what? There's no cameras there. So now the pitcher, Jose was telling us about this. He's one of our boys. One of the pitchers from the A's, Sergio Ramos, he was trying to, in essence, show everybody out, and he pulled his pants down.
Yeah.
If there's no camera, he's not that brave. That's just kind of a lot of pitchers are going to do that because of the camera, and they want to try to, like, in their mind, they're like, oh, this is a stupid rule. Well, you think it's stupid because you had to cheat. Let's just call it what it is. The only guys who have a problem is the guys who can't pitch well and need a foreign substance. That's just a fact of the matter. Because
can you imagine if the batters were showing this kind of behavior?
That's what, bro. We're in a day and age where if a batter says that wasn't a strike, they get ejected. We live in a day and age where if an ump tells you get in the box and you go, hold on, I need to get my composure, you get a warning. That's where we're living in. So now a pitcher can be like, okay, here, pull down his pants, and then later be like, oh, well, I just think it's ridiculous. I don't know whose side I'm on because I get what the MLB is doing, but they're handling it a little bit the wrong way. They have so many umpires, it's ridiculous. But you use the same ones every time. Every time I turn on the game, I see Joe West Oad, and I see the incompetent Angel Hernandez out there. I'm like, bro, you guys have like so many umps. Why don't you put them to use? If you don't want to put them in the game, that's fine. Why don't you put one in each dugout? While they come to the dugout, you can check them every inning. Heck, and if you're so worried about the relievers, hey, put one in the bullpen too. You see what I'm saying? Because the thing is, now
you got the resources.
Exactly. And the MLB is putting themselves in a position where the excuse the pitcher's going to say is, we don't want to slow the game down. And that's an excuse I see coming from a mile away. And these are the same guys who are opposed to a pitch clock because they don't want to be sped up. So the MLB is entering a very, very sensitive area where if they don't handle this right, they're going to give up. Like, let's call it what it is, bro. Like, the pitchers obviously are going to yell at them. We know that. But once the fans say, yo, you're making the game too long, the MLB is going to be like, oh, okay, we'll just stop. And it's so easy to fix it. All you got to do is just be like, hey, yo, go to the dugout, chill with them, have somebody over there. And if you don't want to do an ump, that's fine. Have an official from the office be there. Someone that's not affiliated with the team, a guy who's kind of there on his own, off to the corner, checks. And that's it, you know? It's just weird. Like, I've never in my life seen a situation that has a very simple solution, and then everybody involved makes it so much harder to the point where it's like, you guys are making this so difficult. Like, I'm telling you, bro, cook me a pizza, and now you're out here trying to act like you're Gordon Ramsay whipping me a 5-score day. Bro, just get me one of those little heat-up things you get from Walmart, pop in the oven for 20, and give it to me, and I'll shut up. Why are you trying to make a gourmet pizza? I don't care. If it's got cheese, tomato sauce, and bread, I'm good. MLB is trying to do way too much. I don't know what's going on with them, bro. Like I said, it's a very simple solution. You're going to start seeing guys be more dramatic. And the one guy I can't wait to see, the one guy I genuinely cannot wait to see, because this is going to be funny for me. This is going to be funny. I'm very curious. I want to see how Trevor Bauer reacts. Because he's the one who's been leading this, right? The instant they check him twice, I guarantee he's going to be the first one in the press conference. Oh, yeah, you know, it's not fair. It's really not fair. And it's like, no, time out. Rewind 2 years back. You were crying like a child with the whole sign-stealing thing. And his quote, the quote he loved to use, cheating is cheating. That was the quote that he was like, bro, I got that phrase. Like, I forgot that phrase existed. He literally tattooed it on my forehead. So it's getting to a point, bro, where like I guess I can't be on anyone's real like team, really, because, yeah, the MLB is doing what they're supposed to do. But at the same time, like I said, it could be so much easier. I'm just hoping, like, within a couple weeks, MLB realizes it and goes, okay, let's try something different. And then we go from there. But as of right now, bro, I'm kind of just in the middle saying, hey, yo, don't cheat and don't drag the process out. That's kind of that's who I am right now, bro.
Now, you, yo, Pride, So shit, you straight up nail it, bro. But I'm gonna keep it. I don't care anymore. Yeah, I'm to the point where I just don't give a F anymore because this is gonna ruin the viewing. You're gonna be questioning every single pitcher. Check this out. Joe Schmo goes out there and has the game of his life. Strikes out the side. Oh, check him. Okay, cool. Strikes out the side again. Oh, check him again. Wait a minute. Didn't you already check me? Strikes out the side again, and you're going to check him again. It's to the point where it's like, what are we doing here? I thought the agreement was it was going to be a pit stop going into and out of the dugout, not during the pitches, during during at-bats, during the inning. It's making the game ugly. It really is. And if the baseball world believes that this is going to increase the viewing ship into a sport that's dying, that's already dying at it as it is, a game where the shortest games are 2 hours and 30 minutes. That's a short game. When it's a good game, you're going to be there for 3 hours. You're going to add another 30 minutes to an already three-hour game, my man, to a game where you're not going to have as much excitement because the games are not as high scoring. Now you're going to make these games already a half an hour longer. You're going to make the fans, the little fans that you're trying to get, just disappear from it because a lot of people are right when they say this is baseball. Like, do what you do. Do what you say you're going to do, but do it the right way, not in the middle of an inning after a guy strikes someone out. I feel like you can't even have a pitcher have a good game anymore because you're going to start questioning him from the jump. It's to the point, Jay, where you might as well just have a goddamn machine out there throwing pitches to these damn batters and let them play the game like that. Because what's the value of a great pitcher now? What's the value of having a pitcher like Scherzer, DeGrom, if every single inning you're going to check him? I'm okay with checking him in the game. But dude, you got to check him 3-4 times? Like, are you serious?
Sander, I'm going to say this. No machine can match DeGrom.
But what? But they don't want DeGrom. Basically, we don't want great pitchers. We want pitchers to just throw it out there and let the offense have at it because we want more excitement. That's basically what these dudes are saying. They're devaluing pitching, man. And it's to the point where guys like DeGrom, they laugh. They straight up laugh at you. You know how disrespectful it is for your top pitcher in the league to just straight up laugh at authority? Just to go ahead, bro. I don't care. I'm that great. As a matter of fact, you're going to check me. And after you check me, I'm about to strike out the side. It's that blatant disrespect where it's to the point where MLB, what are you doing? You're supposed to be doing this the right way, and this is not the right way because you're going to lose fans. You're not going to gain any fans. You got veterans talking about, bro, I might as well just straight up not watch because all we watching in baseball nowadays, we're not watching how baseball used to be. Smack a few line drives, get a few people on base, maybe get the home run, but for sure bring a few runs in. Nowadays, it's strikeout, home run, strikeout, ball, strikeout, home run. The sport, guys, has either gotten stagnant or it's to the point where the viewers are just dying off. You're going to have a lot of people not watching baseball anymore. It's to the point where the MLB will do something. Supposedly, if this thing gets to the point where it's out of hand, the MLB might be considering and trying to create some type of substance for these pitchers to use something, but try not to affect the spin rate. I don't know what the hell they're going to try and do, but whatever you do to try and make this sport a level playing field, I'm 100% for. But Jesus Christ, can you do it the right way? Because there's no reason why Max Scherzer, a guy, like I said, has been dominating, has been a great pitcher for decades, okay? Talking about checking them three damn times in one game, back to back to back. Anybody would get upset. Anybody would get upset. So it's to the point, Jay, where you're going to have, let's say, for example, a level, overall 67 guy just having the game of his life pitching, and you're going to check them 3-4 times in a game? What about the team? What about the teams that are at the bottom of the league? The real bad teams, the horrible teams that don't have a chance of making the playoffs. You're going to be really – you think that it's going to make a difference what these pitchers are using because they're garbage with it. What makes you think they're going to be garbage without it? I don't know what the MLB is going to do now, guys. I really don't know because the process that they're doing it is not what they spoke about. If they would have done it the way they said in the beginning, it's going to be a pit stop. We're going to check them when they come in and out of the dugouts. Fine. You could do that during commercial break. You understand? You don't have to do it during the game because all you're doing is making the game more boring, making the game longer, and you think you're going to get the youth for 3.5 hours to sit down and watch a baseball game in the middle of July? You must be smoking something worse than Vittori is because ain't no kids nowadays going to be watching a game. You barely got a 21-year-old for 45 minutes. You think you're going to have them sitting down watching the game for 3.5 hours in July? Child, please. The MLB got a lot of work to do, guys, and it has to happen now because out of the three sports, the NBA has always been a sport going up. The NFL's top dog. Baseball is going to start dying even worse and at a faster rate because of this.
Yeah, man. I mean, if I got to pick between the two teams, guys, I got to go Team Mad Max just because I think that the MLB is just handling it so poorly for all the reasons you guys both mentioned. And prior to your opening soliloquy about Joe Girardi, tell me about an abuse of team challenges. Like, I thought you were supposed to use the challenge for a close call at first, or if you had a potential double play, you really got to slow it down so they could come to the right conclusion and make sure that the right play is called, or maybe challenge a strike in the strike zone. But this is ridiculous. Like, this is really an abuse of using a rule for a guy like Max Scherzer, who deserves all the respect in the world. Like you mentioned, Sander, this guy's an elite pitcher for many years. I think that if anybody's given the benefit of the doubt, it's him. I mean, I do get it, though. He did come out and said, I have used that before. So they have all the reason to. It's like, you know, if I told my girl I'm a cheater, if she asked me did I cheat today, she's in her right to ask me because I told her I'm a cheater. You know what I mean? So in that context, they got all the right to check Max Scherzer the way they did. I don't like the fashion in which Girardi did it because, I mean, you're basically just trying to get the guy out of rhythm at that point, which is a smart tactic. I'm not going to knock him on that one. It's definitely a smart tactic if you're playing against a pitcher. But nonetheless, like I said, it's a guy that has earned enough of a reputation to know that this guy is good enough to do what he just did. He's not the 67 overall player that you had mentioned, Sander. So, yeah, pride. You know, both the teams look bad, honestly. Max Scherzer doesn't look good. He looks like a child pouting, and the MLB is just going about it the wrong way when it comes to the way they're examining these players.
Yeah, not 100%. Yeah, I mean, obviously, both of them look stupid. They both look stupid, you know what I mean? But it's just get to a point where, like, people want to give up on checking the pitchers because it's too much work, right? But my thing is, okay, so if we're going to let them check, then let's just juice up the ball, like the baseball players. We live in a league where if a guy hit – people don't remember this. Pete Alonso in his rookie year hit, like, 53 home runs. They drug tested him after that.
He beat Judge's record. Yeah, they did.
They drug tested him because of that. Yep. They was on him heavy. There's been a lot of guys who came forward and say, bro, I'm not doing nothing. Stop drug testing me. Multiple guys have came out. David Ortiz, yep, he popped one time, and I'll never forgive him for it. Dude, I'm very upset with him. But afterwards, he never did it again, and they continued to drug test him. It got to the point where every time he hit a home run, he didn't want to touch home because in his mind, he goes, yeah, they're going to test me.
They're going to check me when I get
up. So to me, it's like, why is it that every time a batter does something, oh, we got to look at him, and then the pitchers can kind of, like, skate through, you know? Because, again, like, a lot of these guys.
To me, it's kind of like Sander was saying, like, dude, you're just going to hate coming to work because you got to get freaking tested all the time.
But that's how it is for the batters. You see what I'm saying? So if it's for the batters and they're still coming out chilling, why are the pitchers off? Because we live in – listen, what people don't get, the pitcher has always had the advantage over the batter. Always. Why? Because they know the pitch, they know where it's going, and they know where it's supposed to go, and they know the speed they're supposed to throw it at. So it's like, so what? So now you want even more of an advantage? What you you want to increase your spin rate? Why? Because you can't hack it? Is that what's going on? Like, because if you can't hack it, fine. Why don't you be a velocity guy? Noah Syndergaard His breaks aren't that vicious. They're not. He got some solid breaks, but they're vicious. But you know how he makes up for it? That's fine.
That heater.
Hit 102.
Yep.
So my thing is, if your control's that bad, fine. Go throw faster. Because supposedly throwing fast now is all the rage. So my thing is, if supposedly that you can't get a grip or your spin velocity is down, wouldn't it occur to you that just maybe if you can't get your spin velocity up there, maybe you're not that guy? Is that a possibility? Like, you don't see Ben Simmons shooting threes. Why? He's not that guy. You don't see Giannis Antetokounmpo constantly trying to get to the free throw. Why? Because he's not that guy. You don't see a guy like Justin Upton try to hit home runs. Why? He's not that guy. He's just not. You don't see Albert Pujols trying to steal bases. Why? He's not that guy.
He's not that guy.
So maybe if you can get that velocity you want, is it possible that's just not your forte? Maybe you're a guy who has a pretty good break. That's a solid break. But maybe you're just a guy who just throws fast. Is that a possibility? And I think a lot of these pitchers don't think that. I think they think I have to be everything. I think it's mostly the starting pitchers. Because yeah. The relievers, most of the time, only have like a 2-3 pitch repertoire. So for them, it's mostly the starting pitches, especially like a guy like Zach Greinke, who has like 4 or 5 pitches, a Justin Verlander, a Max Scherzer, who has multiple pitches in their repertoire where they're like, oh, well, I have to, if I'm a starting pitcher, I have to have 4 to 5 pitches. That's kind of like the mentality they're thinking about. And my thing is, bro, if your curveball can't get a good break, don't look at me and be like, what am I supposed to do? I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. Don't throw a curve. Don't throw a curve. Because me personally, if you could throw a changeup, if you got a changeup and a fastball, bro, you're vicious. You're a vicious closer. Because dudes can't tell the difference until it's almost at the plate. Because the delivery is very much the same. So my thing is I don't know, man. It's just I just hope the MLB doesn't backtrack on this. Because now they're gonna, if they backtrack on it, the only way they should is if they just go, you know what, everyone do what you want. Pitchers use what you want, batters juice up. You know, because now if you're backing up, now not only the pitchers are going to be mad at you, the batters are going to be looking at you like, wait, timeout. So you're allowing this, but I get a triple, and the next day you guys are knocking on my door? Like, so this is a situation they got to tread carefully, and Frank, like I said, bro, if you cheat, you should just be out the sport. That's just my opinion on the whole thing.
100%. And to that point, though, Prague, you said it yourself. You just answered your question. At least the batters are getting get checked the next day. These pitchers are being checked that inning during the game, not once, not twice, not three times.
But PEDs and forced substances are different things, though.
But what I'm saying is, let's not check them during the inning. I'm not saying not during the game. If you want to check them three times, whatever, do it during the time they're in the dugout. Let's not Let's not make this game longer. That's my only problem with the MLB. You're affecting, right? So okay, I agree with you.
Yeah, no, the MLB has handled this awful. I just want them to change it and then not go back. Because now, okay, if you go back, now though, you're like opening a box, a batter, that, like, you can't close.
Right, but that's the difference between a batter, you know, getting, you know, questions, because they waited till the end of the season to start making sure, oh, we got to check Pete Alonso because he had the 54, 55 home runs. They waited till after the season was over to then start, all right, we're going to start checking you, making sure you're good. In the MLB with the pitchers, they're checking them 3-4 times in one game, bro. And it's during the innings. That's what it is. If you're going to check them as many times, what the hell ever. Clean up the sport. But check them during a time where it doesn't affect the length of the game, where you're desperately trying to shorten. That's my beef.
Well, honestly, I blame Joe Girardi for that one. I really do. Because when they checked the Grom, they checked them once. And then it was, and same thing with Otani. It was quick. They were literally on, yep. Like, where they checked them is when the guys were running off the field, and then they undid their belt, spread their arms. It was like not even 10 seconds.
They checked it
here. Yeah, and same thing. I think the reason this was longer was because Joe Girardi was trying to, like you said, JJ, he was trying to get in his head. That's what he was trying to do. He was reaching, like, the first time Scherzer got checked, he was walking to the dugout. The guys were clearing the field, and that's kind of when like the guys were changing. So it was a quick one. The second and third one, that's when Joe Girardi was saying something. And to your point, JJ, he was abusing that rule where it's like, oh, I'm challenging. We need to check him. You know what I mean? That they need a way to cut that out because, again, now you're getting a pitcher who's getting frustrated. And again, Max Scherzer can regain his composure. He's fine. Look, he was fine. And as soon as he got out, he struck someone out and told Girardi, yo, lick me. You feel me? So he stared
him down too the whole time.
Yeah, he was grilling him. He was like, yo, what you trying to do? But I'm talking about a guy who doesn't have composure. That's my, you feel me? Because now if you go to
that. I wanted to check Joe Kelly.
You good with players getting checked multiple games, though? Bro?
He pegging are the next guys, person.
Are you guys okay? Are you guys cool? Well, obviously, I mean, I guess we're cool with it because we want to clean up the sport. But what do you guys say about guys like DeGrom, like Scherzer, like the elites of the elites? I'm not talking about Joe Schmo just getting a random start. The elites of the elites. What do you guys say to checking them this game, then the next game, then the next game?
As long as it's not in between batters, I'm okay with it.
Oh, please, thank God. If they do it in between batters, I promise you I'm not watching baseball no more.
It'd be pointless.
But they're going to, because if the manager goes, oh, I want him checked, the rule says the umps have, I guess,
then I feel like they're probably going to have, you know how like in the NFL you have two challenge flags? Like you're going to have challenge flags for just that in specific. Like I feel that's the only way you could do it. You know, like, because like I said, like I thought MLB challenging was for like close calls at first, double plays, strike zone stuff. And now you're going to add, check the pitcher for it to see if he has sun on his fingers. You got to limit at least that portion because everything else is too big. Like I said, I think you could challenge seven plays at first base if the game requires it to. But something like checking a foreign substance on a pitcher's fingers, you could limit that though. You could limit how many times you could do that.
Yeah, no, and like you said, and honestly, if you're just checking the guys in the dugout, you don't need to challenge it. If they take that route and go, you know what, we're just gonna check them in the dugout, we're gonna do a quick one. If they do that, and then the manager goes, oh, I want a challenge, the umps should go, yeah, bro, only thing you finna challenge is the L you about to take, bro, because we're not wasting our time doing this again, especially considering we're checking him coming onto the field and coming off the field. So if that's why I'm saying they should just check him in the dugout, because if you check him in the dugout, not only are you cleaning up the sport, but then every other problem they have is now being nullified. Now you don't have to worry about a guy being, oh my God, I'm trying to make a scene for the cameras. Why? Because the cameras aren't going to be there. Now you don't have to worry about Elong in the game. You don't got to worry. And if the guy's cheating or the guy refuses, okay, get him out. And that's it. And since you're right there, you can immediately tell the manager, and now the manager can adjust. You go, okay, bet. We got to go get someone warm up. Go get a lefty to warm up.
You see what I'm saying? And you use like 4 or 5 minutes to just make sure, oh, we got a pitcher warming up because we got to get a pitcher out of here. That's simple. And not even that.
You don't even need that long because, again, when you're checking them, the pitcher's team is batting. So, like, you don't,
100%.
So not only they got time to warm up, but then after the three outs come and the reliever, whoever it is, comes onto the field, he still has a little bit of pitches to warm up on the field. So I feel like if you do that, every problem you have, you're nullifying it. You're getting rid of every problem you have. And it's just wild that, like, I didn't graduate college and I can come up with this. And Robert Manfred gets up a donk-a-donk zillion dollars, and the guy's looking at this like it's a freaking, like, it's a scientific equation on, like, rocket-powered mechanisms. I'm like, fam, it's not that hard. Like,
It's really not pride, and I do think that if the MLB really wants to fix this issue, they should just watch the show, because I think we're offering them enough solutions to go around, because they really got to fix this.
And I haven't heard nobody say what we've come up with
So I do think the MLB needs to listen to our show at least one time. We got you, MLB. We'll make the game what it has to be. But I do want to transition back to the NBA, guys, and your beloved Boston Red Sox. Oh, they get Boston Red Sox. Boston Celtics pride. We said no time, you know. Today, earlier, they announced that they're going to hire Nets assistant. Excuse me if I get his name wrong. I'm Udoka to be their new head coach. Is it Ime? I thought it was Ime. I'm not sure. Ime Udoka to be the next coach. Udoka? I like. I don't know. I think it sounds cool. He sounds like a UFC fighter. He just sounds like the next guy that's gonna take the championship belt. And then he is a Nigerian born.
First round.
Yeah, he is a Nigerian born head coach guy. So it is nice to see a coach of color in the NBA. It's always been a big thing when it comes to the league. I know they're your Boston Celtics pride. Brian, I'm gonna start with Sander. Do you like it? Do you love it? Do you hate the hire? What do you think about it?
Well, I'm not going to say I hate it because I'm not going to disrespect the Boston Celtics and what they've done so far. I'm, you know, what Brad Stevens has done so far as a GM, he already made a trade. Now he got the head coach problem solved. I'm actually, you know, but I'm also not going to love it either. I'm going to sit here and say I like it because there were a few candidates that a lot of us, you know, a few of us talked about that I felt like could have been a possibly better fit. Like the Mark Jacksons, Pride been beating his chest, wanting David Fizdale in there. We all agree that wouldn't have been a bad fit either. You know, you had the Sam Cassells, who was supposedly a proven commodity right now. Everybody in the NBA has been buzzing about him with a possible head coaching opportunity. And, you know, I would even throw a Chauncey Billups in there because a lot of talks are around the league is that he wants to get a head coaching job. And Mr. Big Shot himself has tons of experience, and I feel like he can leave an everlasting effect on a team, you know, as long as he's given the opportunity. You know, Jose said some funny stuff about, I would have gave a coach, a college coach. Well, really, the only college coach out there that's willing to take a job like this would be John Calipari. And as much as I like John Calipari in Kentucky and what he's done, you know, I don't think he has enough cachet to run this team right now. Udoka, on the other hand, you know, Udoka supposedly he's been around a lot of great teams. He's been on the staff of a lot of great teams. You know, he's been on the Spurs. He was on the Brooklyn Nets, you know, recently. You say Philadelphia as well. So he's been on a few great staffs with a few great coaches, nitpicking the brains of a lot of the, you know, Greg Popovich. Who else, if you're an assistant, to learn from other than the great GOAT Popovich? You understand? So I'm not going to sit here and love it because, like I said, I feel like a few candidates that the Boston Celtics had a few second interview with, I think Jason Kidd, too, was one of them. I wouldn't even like Jason Kidd as much as I probably wouldn't like it. I think Jason Kidd would have fit well with Boston because Jason Kidd unlocked a lot of the potential that you see now in Giannis. He kind of like blossomed that flower that the coaches took and, you know, took it to the next level. But a lot of the advancement in Giannis, you saw because of Jason Kidd. And I feel like Jason Kidd can do the same with a guy like Tatum, who's already, he's right there at superstardom. And you got a guy in Jaylen Brown, Pride says all the time, he's not that far ahead. And he's not. Jaylen Brown has the goods to be a great Batman as well. But, you know, as long as you're on a team with Jason Tatum, I think you're going to be always going to be a Robin. But the fact that Udoka can take those two elements, take those two personalities, and learning from Popovich, learning from Philadelphia, and learning from the great team that he's been on, I think he's learned to master these two personalities and have it work successful. Because when you look at Jaylen Brown, you look at Jason Tatum, you see guys, you compare them to Kawhi and Paul George. You compare them to the GOATs like, you know, MJ and Pippen, those type of styles, because the two wings, two perimeter defenders, two guys that can get their own basket. That's the type of potential that the Boston Celtics have. And a guy like Udoka, I believe that he has enough to try and get the job done, but I'm for sure, I would have loved it if any of the guys I would have mentioned that we talked about before would have been hired, preferably like a Fizdale for sure. That would have been Pride. I mean, we probably would have had a parade just for Fizdale's hire from Pride alone if he would have been hired. But, you know, the fact that Fizdale didn't even get a recommendation, or the fact that Fizdale wasn't even a thought of Boston to even give a call, is really kind of weird because Fizdale is a proven commodity. But nonetheless, guys, Pride, I don't hate it. I don't love it. I like it for you guys. I think you guys are making the right steps to move forward. I still think you guys are missing that coach to bring out the best of players, though. But you guys are on the right step.
I'm assuming Coach Fizdale does not like Boston. I assume he didn't want to move. I'm going
too cold, man. It's too
if
cold.
This if yo, I don't know if this is true or not. I'm going to assume that they asked him and he said no. That's the only way I will sleep at night. Because I refuse to believe that this organization had the nerve, the audacity to test my patience, to test my loyalty, and not even give this man a phone call. I refuse under any circumstances. Listen, bro. I am holding on solely. And when I say this, I literally mean it. The only reason I'm so Celtics fan is because of 08. I still have dreams of 08 when we beat Kobe. I have dreams of that, bro. That's the only thing. That's the slight string that's holding
me. Not even Jason and Jalen?
No. Not right now. And okay. I'm going to tell you why. I fear that this hire will send one of them away. That's what I'm scared of. I fear this hire we need a guy who can look you in the eye and say, you're messing up, fix it. Then when you fix it, goes, that's what I'm talking about. Good job. That's what we need. We don't need a Greg Popovich to be like, you're a waste of space. You are garbage. We don't need that. We don't need that. And we don't need a guy who knows nothing of what he's doing, like a Steve Nash, who's his lazy eye moves more than he does on the sidelines. That's not what we need. We need a guy like a Mark Jackson. Look, I'm not saying that Udoka's bad. Jackson. I'm not saying that. I'm not going to pretend that he is. I'm not going to try to make that.
So you don't hate it, but you don't love it. You're okay with it.
I'm going to say barely. And when I say barely, like I said, I'm going to go in optimistic. I'm going to go in I'm going in with the belief that he's the right guy for the job, even though I know in my heart he's not. I know he's not, but I'm going to trick myself into thinking he is. Again, he's not a bad coach, but the style of coach we need, A, he's never been a head coach ever.
Yeah.
He's never been a head coach. Right. The only thing he can cling on to is the whole, oh, well, I was with Greg Popovich for, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's for like 10 years, if I believe. If I'm not mistaken, he retired in 08, and he stayed with them until the 2019-2020 season. Then last year, he went with the Sixers for 1 year, and then after that, he went to Brooklyn. So the only thing he can say is, I was with Coach Popovich for a while. The only thing he can say. That's no disrespect to him, but that's the only thing he's got under his belt. If the only thing you got under your belt is, hey.
It kind of reminds me of, you know, Matt Patricia. Well, I was under Belichick,
That's exactly what it is. When he went to the Lions, they were like, yo, why should we hire you? Bill Belichick. That was the only thing to say. And I feel like with this one, when he went in, so he sat down, and then why would we hire you? And he thought back, what would Greg Popovich say? And he just reiterated whatever he thought he would say. If they ask about interviews, he'll be like, I don't like interviews. No, you're not Coach Pop. Like, you're not. Like, you see what I'm saying? So, like, I don't like it. I don't love it. I'm like a step above I hate it. I really am, bro. I like strongly dislike it. I really do. Because again, he puts us nowhere. He
started off good.
No, he puts us nowhere. If anything, we took a step back. Bless you. If anything, we took a step back. If anything, because again, we need a guy who's got pedigree, who knows what he's doing. Why are we picking up a rookie?
You know what he can cling on to as well, though, probably that you can add it to resume. Not only did was he on great staff, so he can mention that he was under the helm of Popovich and, you know, Sixers, and he was there in Brooklyn. But you know what he can cling on to as well is what I was trying to say. He's dealt with a lot of great personalities in the sense that he's dealt with a lot of egos. He dealt with the 10 Duncans, with the Ginobili's, the Parkers, with the Kevin Durant's, he was in the locker room with Embiid, so he was around great players. So I feel like, you know, maybe that is also maybe a little
You're saying basically like he's not gonna get starstruck by Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
I don't But that's not my problem. My problem isn't that he's not going to step up to these guys. That's not the problem. Oh, the problem is these guys aren't going to respect him. Because they can go and say, oh, yeah, I was in the Spurs locker room. Tim Duncan has zero ego. Zero ego. If Greg Popovich told them go out there butt naked and literally fall out in 10 seconds, guess what he's doing? He's falling out in 7. That's what he's doing.
Like they're going hard for the team.
he was the most. He literally was like, "I'm trying to catch a dub, regardless." Manu Ginobili, he didn't want to come off the bench. Was Udoka the one who sat him down and said, "Bro, listen, bro, we need you off the bench." No, that was Pop. Every time Tony Parker tried to like do whatever he wanted, are you gonna tell me Udoka sat him down and said, "Yo, Park, you can't do that." No. And if you want to go over, if you want to head on over to Philly, every time Embiid was doing this thing, you think he was in the locker room going, come on, Embiid. You can't do that. No, it was Brett Brown, which is one of the reasons he got fired. You think he was the one who made Ben Simmons shoot, do nothing but shoot? You think it was him and Lako going, all right, Ben, look here, buddy, pal, friend, amigo, listen here. You got to shoot and only shoot. Yeah, no, it was Brett Brown. It was Brett Brown. That's who it was.
Yeah, that was supposed to be Brooklyn.
On Brooklyn. You think he's doing anything? You think he's doing anything in Brooklyn? Bro, Steve Nash is the head coach, and he does nothing. This guy's an assistant. He's doing more?
Yeah.
Completely, bro, it's like everything we should have not hired. We looked at Udoka, was like, bro, he's the exact opposite of what we need. When can you start? And it's like, yo, Brad, look, bro, I was on board with the Kemba trade. Now you're making me reconsider stuff. Now you're making me think, are we crazy for trading Kemba? I know we're not, but now you're making me start to consider stuff like, bro, this is not who we needed. That's not who we needed, bro.
And I get it, Pride, but, you know, everybody got to start somewhere. So, you know, I am happy that Udoka is going to get a start to play, to coach the Boston Celtics. It's a great starting job. You got two centerpieces to work around with. So it's not like you're starting from the bottom. You have some good pieces. Now it's up to see what he and Brad Stevens could do together to build this team out, you know. But I do want to end the show, guys. I do want to transition to the MLB because – that boy Pete Alonso won a home run derby not too long ago, and he came out with that big energy today saying that, hey, I'm about to defend my title. I'm about to win this again. Well, he got a lot of competition because we know the MLB got a lot of great swingers. I mean, damn, Pete's going to be hard to beat. You know, this kid is so young. He has such a great swing. Ohtani, we talk about him all the time. You know, he's a baby goat in the making himself. You know, but Sander, I'm going to start with you. We already know Alonso's going to be there. I believe Ohtani already punched in his ticket too. But that leaves a lot of players still willing to go up there. So who do you think should compete against Alonso?
I think it should be the guy that tallied last year for it. That boy, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. should definitely enter it because, to be honest, even though Pete Alonso won it, I think Vegas will be brave enough to put Vlad as the favorite to win it if he enters this season. Because Vlad Guerrero, as crazy as it sounds, you thought he was nice last season? He's gotten better statistically in every category from the beginning of the season to now compared to last season. Dude, Vlad Guerrero right now, he's hitting his stride. He's on fire. Not only is he first in the league in almost every category statistically, offensively, he's fighting for first. Because he's not first, he's tied for it. The dude is on the shits, man. Vlad Guerrero Jr., dude, you learn from a great player. His father, man, we already know the legend that he is. You don't even got to get into it. But Vlad Guerrero, dude, he sees the ball well. He strikes out less than all the guys that could compete in it. And the fact that, you know, Vlad Guerrero is not just a home run hitter. He's a pure hitter. He can send it, you know, he can send the line drive. But the fact that he has that power, and the boy's not that skinny, you know what I'm saying? The dude got a little bit of extra loving, but all that goes into the home run when he sends 450 plus. I'm telling you right now, I think he learned from last season not to blow his load in one round and pace himself. If he enters this year's home run derby, I guarantee you he will not only win the championship, win the home run derby, but he'll also break the record for most home runs in the derby. Guarantee you.
Pride, before you go, I think Sander made a great thing. You know, if you don't blow your load all in one thing, that's a valuable lesson a lot of can take. You know, don't blow it all in one load, guys. Don't do that.
Yeah, 100%. So just real quick to touch on your Vladdy thing, he already said he's not doing it.
He's not.
He already said that. He said he's looking forward to the All-Star game, but his thing was, I would rather use this time, just do the All-Star game, relax, and then refresh myself and recover mentally and physically for the second half of the season.
Because last year he got really cold after the Derby.
He was freezing.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of his mentality with that. Also, Fernando Tatis Jr., he's 50-50. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what he wants to do. He's kind of like – he sees the pros, and he's also looking at the cons. That would be a good name. Personally, I would recommend, obviously, Shohei. Ronald Acuna. I kind of hope he shows up because a guy like him, he'll kind of make it a little fun, right? I don't know. I feel like him
– Acuna's in it for sure?
No, well, he's not. The only two people who are in it for sure is Pete Alonso and Shohei Ohtani. Those are the only two for sure. Everybody else is like they either haven't been asked or they're not sure. So far, the only person who said straight up no is Vladdy. He's the only one who should have said no.
I'm so disappointed.
I didn't want to see him because
I get it, but damn.
I felt like he would have had a better chance this year than last year. And last year he had a legitimate chance.
Absolutely.
It wasn't like he was a long shot. He had a legit chance last year, and to say that he has a better chance this year.
Listen, if Vladdy showed up an hour before the Derby and was like, yo, I'm coming in, I'll put my money on Vladdy in that hour.
100%. But it's going to be
him. In that young man right now.
Yeah, I would say him. Another guy I like, and maybe I'm just being a homer, the best third baseman in all baseball, Rafael Devers. I'll be a cornball. Hey, maybe throw a J.D. Martinez in there. Again, I could be a homer. A couple dark horse names that I don't think anyone's really talking about. Freddie Freeman and Nelson Cruz. I would throw them in there too. If I could just throw only one of them, I'll throw in Freddie. But I mean, Nelson Cruz, I personally, he still got thunder. I mean, the guy still got double digit home runs. You know what I mean? Like another guy you could throw. I mean, maybe Javier Baez. Cause this year his bat has been got some thunder in there this year. You know what I mean? Like there are some guys, but for the first time, it's like if you look down the home run leaders, usually that's how they do it. They'll look down to like the home run leaders and then they'll rank you like that. But now it's kind of like a guy can have 16 home runs and you'll look at him and like you'll be like, you know what? He kind of deserves it. You know, like this is like the first year where I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm you can look at the list. A guy could probably only have like, I don't know, let's say like 50 home runs. And you'll look at him and you'll be like, okay, like homeboy on the Reds, Suarez, Eugenio Suarez. Yeah. I think he only has like 14 or 15. I'm not 100% sure. I know he's up there, but even I'm kind of looking at him like maybe he could sneak in. So
yeah, he just don't got the 21, 22 Vladdy guy, but that don't mean that he's a scrub either.
Look, man, I'm just glad Vladdy's not gonna join this year. And the only reason is because frankly, I want to see him tear it up the second half of the season. I do want to see that because again, last time he was so drained and all that stuff. So, but there's a lot of names you can throw out there. So, I mean, at this point, bro, it's gonna be a who's who to be honest.
Listen, probably you threw out a couple homer games there. Listen, my Yankees, I think they're gonna struggle to get in the playoffs.
I shouldn't even deserve to go to Colorado.
So they're gonna do something. They gotta at least try to win a home run derby. So I feel like this guy right here, Giancarlo Stanton, Mr. Big for Nothing Muscles. Go win a home run derby or something. You're not going to win MVP. You're probably not going to win a playoff appearance. You're probably not going to do anything. So go out there and at least win a goddamn home run derby. And another guy, another big for nothing guy. Where are you? I don't have the picture. I thought I had it.
We know who you're talking about.
Aaron Judge, big old self. You're not going to do nothing either. You love swinging and missing. Go do some home run derby stuff. He actually performed very well in his first home run derby but ended up losing. But I would love to see Aaron Judge again in a home run derby on some real shit because, I just think him hitting home runs is always a great sight. And I just think that those two guys, that's what they do best. So I think if they're going to hit home runs, do it for the fans. You know what I mean? So I think it would be great, Sander, to see both our Yankee guys, Judge and Stanton, compete in a home run derby because I don't feel like they're going to be competing for a championship this year.
Oh, that'd be beautiful because the only time I see Judge and Stanton in home run derbies is when I'm playing MLB The Show That's really the only time I see him in the contest. But nonetheless, yeah. Guys, because my guy Vlad is not so heartbroken from it, probably you broke my heart when you told me that. I would have to go with this guy that is probably going to go in there with a chip on his shoulder. Ronald Acuña Jr. The All-Star game was supposed to be in Atlanta, and they took it out of Atlanta. So I think Acuña is going to go in there with a little bit of like, damn, this was supposed to be in my hometown. So he might have to go in there and go out there and show out. You never know. So that's my pick, because God damn it, man, I wish Vlad Jr. could have, you know, went in there, because I think he most likely could have taken the title this year.
I mean, the only reason I don't think he'll have a chip is only because, like, with the whole pandemic thing, the stadiums really won't be full. I feel like if this had happened, like, next year and all the stadiums were full and, like, then they switch it from Atlanta, oh, yeah, nah, they Ronald Acuña definitely would have to be in there. But, like, I mean, honestly, what I honestly would do, this is just me, maybe I'm just being a cold ball, right? Have the Atlanta team go to the All-Star game. And face the All-Stars. If they want that big of a chip of a shoulder, let's just have them face the All-Stars, bro. I wouldn't be opposed to that. Another name I want to throw out there. Again, I'm a sound corny. And this, if you guys don't remember, way long ago, we kind of made a bet. And this gentleman I believe in, Carlos Correa, he's still going to give me 30. We made a bet.
I'll keep it track, bro. He's only at 12.
Something else. I thought you were gonna say that boy Wander should be in the home run.
Look, imagine hitting a home run, right? Being mad hype. Oh yeah, bro, we did it. Yeah, you walk home with a flaming hot L. So I don't want to hear nothing about him, bro. I don't want to hear a single word from him. So I don't want to hear nothing from him. But
I ain't forget about Carlos Correa though.
I'm gonna tell you this right now. If Carlos Correa wins the home run derby, I'll lose the bet. I don't even care. I don't even care. That will be my saving grace. He giving me 30. He's giving me 30. And when he gives me 30. Oh, and by the way, we got another bet. Remember, you guys said the Yankees were going to win like 100 plus games.
100 games.
And I said, so.
Yeah, I might give you my Skittles early on that one. I might get
it. So we might be a wash because Carlos Correa low-key scared me at this point, so I don't think he's going to hit 30. So we'll call it a wash, right?
We'll wait till September, and then we can revisit the
topic. I bet, yeah. We'll hash it out. There's going to be a few names out there. You know who actually I low-key want? I want Jose Altuve. I don't know if you guys saw that. When he was playing the Red Sox, he hit the most awkward home run I've ever seen in my life. He was off balance. All the pressure was on his foot, and he kind of just flicked his wrist. That's it. It was a quick flick of the wrist, right? He hit it, somehow hit it over the Green Monster. This guy, for as small as he is, somehow be put in torque. I low-key want to see a home run derby with guys like 5'8 and under. I really want to see that, bro. I want to see
you
that.
You're going to have to bring in the outfield, like what they do for the celebrity All-Star game.
The home run thing is going to be like in the middle of the outfield. Actually, no, I lied. It's gonna be outside the dirt. It's gonna be right outside the dirt, and that's how we have to do it.
Yeah, doing the 5'8 guys dirty.
Listen, bro, I'm 5'8, so I think I'm 5'8. I'm either 5'8 or 5'9. You know what? 5'9 and under, just to be on the safe side. I'm making fun of myself. So I'm making fun of myself too. You feel me? So bring it in, bro. You feel me?
You don't gotta be the tallest person in the room. You just gotta make sure you're not the shortest.
100%.
Nonetheless, man, Altuve, I think it will be a great candidate. You know, he has a great swing too, and hits awesome home runs. Even when they're against your team, I hate him so much.
Yeah, even when he has a buzzer and they know they come in.
You're right.
Jose Altuve, man. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, make sure you guys check us out on Twitter at Stir the Pot Sport and on Twitch TV / Clovercrest Media Group. Make sure you guys check out our website, clovercrestmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports. And check us out on Spotify under CMG Sports. Stir the Spot Sports will be right there, guys. Guys, another great show with you guys. I'm very excited to see what tonight's playoff game is going to look like. It's going to be a Milwaukee, Trae Young, Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's going to be a good one.
Let me ask you one real quick. Who you got? I got the Bucks. I think the Bucks.
You got Sander? I got Atlanta and six.
You guys both got Atlanta?
I got Atlanta game one. I got Milwaukee winning the series, but I'm just talking about game one.
I got the Bucks game one. I think the Bucks are gonna come out. I think Drew Holiday is going to do what he can do on Trey. Trey's going to have a poor shooting night. Giannis going to have 30, and they're going to win. I'm not betting, though.
Trey's going to hit one of these.
That's fine. I'm not betting, though. You feel me? So that way, if we lose, if the Bucks lose, I'm good. So I'm not betting nothing because I ain't got that much.
You heard it here first. Bogdanovich with the game winning three to put him up two. Atlanta.
Ooh, yo, that's brave.
I'm JJ, brave. My man Riley Barrett, Sanders Sanchez. We'll catch you on Friday. Yeah.